Good morning and welcome to this Easter Sunday morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And this morning we will continue with looking at the Psalm of the Cross, Psalm 22. We will be in the looking at verses 22 to 31, the last third of the Psalm. Now, there are many songs about the cross of Christ and hymns that we sing on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, like we sang this morning, and they all focus on the cross and the resurrection. Now, the words to this song, and this is one of my favorites, is thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Christ died for our sins. He paid the price for us. He bore our sin and shame. Why? Because of his love for us. His grace and forgiveness gives us eternal life. How should we respond? By giving him all the glory and worshiping him forever. You know, on one side of the cross, before the cross, is death, sin, and shame, which is why we need Jesus, why we need the cross. The reason the cross is there. And the other side of the cross is our redemption that allows us to sing praises to him. Now the lament on the cross from last week that we looked at is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? You lay me in the dust of death. But that lament turns to a song of praise. From you comes my praise. Glorify him. Stand in awe of him. I will proclaim your name. Those are all phrases from this next section of the psalm. The turning point in this psalm is the last line of verse 21, and we talked about that last week. You have answered me. All the doubt and fear, the loneliness and pain, all that the torture and the brutality of a crucifixion was changed in a moment when he said, you have answered me. And Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Satan and all the forces of evil, they thought they won. But that was actually the death knell for sin and death. Because 3 days later, Christ arose from the tomb. The tomb was rolled, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. You have answered me. It is finished. In the last line of this psalm, he has done it. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne of grace and reigning victoriously. Let's look at the song of praise that embodies the last 10 verses of Psalm 22. Now, to keep everything in context, I will read the whole psalm this morning so that we have a greater understanding of the whole psalm. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the wounds of my groanings? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have answered me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. In the 1960s, there was a popular TV show called Gomer Pyle, USMC. Gomer was a country bumpkin who joined the U.S. Marine Corps. He was not the smartest guy, but he had a good heart. And this sergeant was a hard-nosed man who was always trying to whip this private into fighting shape. Gomer would show up at roll call and say, "Reporting for duty, sir," or something like that. And the sergeant would say, "I can't hear you." This was a popular line for him. "I can't hear you" was used quite often in this show, and Gomer would have to repeat himself louder. Well, thankfully, God does not say, "I can't hear you." In fact, he does hear us. He has not despised our afflictions or hidden his face from us, but he has heard when we cry out to him. Not only that, but he hears our praise too. Look at the words for praise in these last 10 verses. I will praise you, glorify him, stand in awe of him. He hears our cries, and he hears our praises. Now, the psalmist will mention three groups of people: his brothers, the Jews; all the ends of the earth and families of nations, which is the Gentiles; and then the future generations, people yet unborn, in the last verse. In this section that we're going to look at right now, he is speaking to the Jews, his brothers. Now, who are his brothers? The sons of Jacob and the sons of Israel. And this is fitting because Jesus' ministry was to the lost sheep of Israel. He focused on Galilee. Yes, he did preach and heal many who were Gentiles, but his primary focus was to the Jews first. That was the focus for all the disciples. And Paul also mentions this, Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or the Gentile. And Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1:8, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So they were to start in Jerusalem, which was mostly Jew, and then work out. And the farther away they got from Jerusalem, the less Jews there would be. So you're going from the Jew first, and then the Gentiles. But who is it that will praise the Lord? Well, it's those who fear the Lord will praise Him. This is the holy fear, a reverential fear, not a fear of God's wrath, but a reverence for who He is. He is the Lord, the Creator of all things, and He is our Redeemer. He is the one who took our place on the cross. For that we have reverence. A holy fear for what He did for us and what He saved us from, and we can only give Him the honor and praise due to Him. We should always want to praise His name. The writer of Hebrews in 5:7 described how God the Father responded to Jesus' prayers. In the days of His flesh, meaning when Jesus was on earth, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him, His Father, who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. This reverence is the same as the fear of the Lord in verse 23. God the Father heard the prayers of His Son, and His Son had reverence for God the Father. God did not abandon Him, or despise Him, or hide His face from Him, but He heard His cries. Now, the reason we are able to praise comes from God. God gives us the reason to praise Him. He hears our prayers, answers our prayers, and we praise Him for His response. When God answers prayer, the response is to give Him praise. During the time of the Old Testament, in the days of the tabernacle and then the temple, to give praise to God meant to bring a sacrifice of praise to the temple. The act of praise was not just a word of thanks, but it was a gift of sacrifice. And this was to show that you had a true reverence for the Lord. Now, Psalm 63, verses 13 to 20, describes what was required in Leviticus 7. Now, later in the year, we are going to go through Leviticus, so we'll get to that point. But let me read Psalm 66, verses 13 to 20. It talks exactly what the psalmist was saying here in Psalm 22, what they were supposed to do. "I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble." So his prayers. And God answered, "I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, and I will make an offering of bulls and goats." So he prayed, God answered, and now he's bringing his sacrifice. And he says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and a high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His steadfast love from me." So after he prays and God answers and he brings the sacrifice, then what does he do? He tells people, "Come and hear what God has done for my soul. Jesus died on the cross for me. He rose again for me. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. This is where I was. I was lost in sin and destined for eternal death. And He provided the free gift of eternal life. Once I was blind, because of Jesus, I can see." Those are the vows mentioned when you look in verse 25. "From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear Him." These are those vows. Tell people what Jesus did for you. The psalmist wrote that the afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. So what did Jesus say? "Blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." This isn't a physical hunger, it's a spiritual hunger. Those who fear the Lord and hunger for his righteousness will be satisfied. The Lord will hear their cries of hunger and provide for them. God is a caring God who hears and responds to those who seek him. And this is the second group of people the psalmist writes about, the Gentiles. Jesus told the parable in Matthew 22, 1-14, of the king inviting people to a wedding feast. But no one responded. So the king sent out messengers to his people, but no one responded to his messengers. In fact, some of his messengers were taken and killed. So he sent his messengers out to the people in the country, and by the highways, in the small villages, remote places, and invited them. And many responded, and the banquet hall was full of these guests from all over the kingdom, all dressed for a wedding feast. Now, the parables about the Jews rejecting Christ and the Gentiles accepting Christ. In John 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples and all who will believe in me through their message. God cared for all who sought, for Jesus cares for all who seeks him, for all who seek him. He hears their prayers as a shepherd hears his sheep. Those who seek him shall praise him. May your hearts live forever. That is the gift given to us. The invitation is given. You just have to accept it to be able to come to the wedding feast. We trust in Jesus as our Savior and accepting his invitation, and we live forever with him. But not only does Jesus care for us, he reigns over us in all the earth. One thing I enjoy doing when traveling is visiting churches. The cultures are different. The liturgy is different. And yes, we have a liturgy. What we have done this morning is a liturgy. Every church has a liturgy of how they do their service. That's basically what it means. The music styles and tempos and all and how they take the songs and is different. The church buildings are different. Some are very fancy. Some are very huge. Some churches meet in a school like we do, or in a, what they call a storefront, which is, you know, you got a little store here and a little store here, and between is the church. But the one thing that they have in common is Jesus. If they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what they have in common, Jesus. If Jesus isn't the focus, if something else is the focus, then that's not a biblical church. You know, last summer we visited about 20 churches. All were different. Maybe a few similarities, but all had their uniqueness. One thing that made them all the same was the preaching of God's word and Christ-centered worship. I've been in a dozens of little churches down in Brazil, whether in a big city or in the jungle, and all of them that I have visited, they preached the word. I've been in churches in Croatia and in England and Switzerland and other places, and I know that the word of God is being preached and Christ is the focus. Christ is their Savior as he is mine. He died on the cross for them because they sought him. It is wonderful to hear the word of God being preached in different languages. And the songs that I know and the ones that I don't know being sung in those languages. It is beautiful to my ears. And if it's beautiful to me, how much more beautiful is it to the Lord? The worship is focused on him and he is honored by their praise. And these verses look ahead. These verses 27 and 28, not only to the risen Savior, but to the ends of days when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship you. See, every pastor and missionary, every Bible teacher and church member should be praying for this day when all the people will turn to the Lord and be saved. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Why would we turn to anyone else or anything else except God? No one else died on the cross for us. No one else gave his life willingly for me. No one else took my place on the cross. Only Jesus did that, and only Jesus rose from the grave. In Peter's sermon in Acts 2, he testified, "And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No one else saved me. I don't pray to or through anyone else but Jesus Christ and God the Father. Our prayers are only lifted up by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ to God the Father. There is no other way. The Bible speaks of no other way than through Jesus. And if there is another way, then everything I have said this morning is false." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The reason our worship is focused on Jesus Christ is because he is Lord of all. The kingship is for Christ alone. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. In Psalm 2, 7, and 8, the Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession." In Psalm 86, "There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." You know, when I'm out walking in Muckross Gardens or one of the local mountains or along the cliffs of the ocean, I am in awe of the majestic views and give glory to God for his creation. When driving through the U.S. last summer, we saw mountains, lakes, rivers, oceans, canyons, eagles and other large animals and birds of prey, miles and miles of fields of corn and wheat. It was majestic and it was wonderful. God's creation is awesome because he created it for his good pleasure, and we get to enjoy that pleasure. We get to share in that pleasure. Many times I think of the words of the old hymn, "How great thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." Creation is awesome, yet God's gift of his only son is infinitely more awesome. Because that's our salvation. Creation is there for our enjoyment. But Christ, our Lord and our God, he's our Redeemer and he is our salvation. Now, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again 3 days later. Today's Easter. That's why we celebrate it. Conquering death and the grave and providing eternal life for all who believe. Who can believe in Jesus? Jews, Gentiles? Anyone. Jesus was asked what works for God needed to be done, and he answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent," meaning you believe in me. Belief and faith in Jesus is all that matters. Not works, not deeds, but faith, and faith alone in Christ alone. God's grace alone, by our faith alone, in Christ alone. There's nothing else in the equation. The psalmist said that the rich and the prosperous shall be satisfied in worship. The dying, those who go down to the dust, will bow down and worship him. And those who cannot save themselves, the marginalized and helpless in the eyes of the world, will be saved by their faith in Jesus. I think of the thief on the cross, and there's the little video of the sermon by Alistair Begg about the middle man on the cross. I think of the thief on the cross who turned to Jesus and asked for forgiveness because he could not save his life. He's dying on the cross. Yet he realized his only hope was Jesus. And Jesus gave him the promise that this day you will be with me in paradise. And as in Alistair Begg says in that sermon, and I'm just paraphrasing, he had no baptism. There was no communion. He never went through a Bible study. There was no prayer. It was a simple thief, a simple belief, just a simple belief and faith in the only hope that he had, and that was Jesus. So what is our challenge? Well, the psalmist challenges us, and Jesus challenges us to a task. The task is to proclaim the gospel to the next generation and to a people yet unborn. The prophecy is that the gospel will be preached to future generations. The challenge is we are to proclaim Jesus each and every generation until he returns. What do we proclaim? Well, we proclaim the Lord's righteousness so that the people will believe in Jesus and be delivered from their sins. The deliverance is from sin and death so that they might have eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is accomplished because the last line says, he has done it. The psalm ends with that present perfect tense that we talked about last week. We talked about, he has answered. It is finished. He has done it. It's the same here. Jesus provided eternal life on the cross. The act of love for all who believe in him was accomplished once for all time. He has done it. He did it on the cross, and what he did on the cross is good forever. The one act of grace is sufficient for everyone. Therefore, that what was finished was the atonement by which the righteous demands of God for sin's punishment had been fully satisfied, paid in full, and the righteousness of God was now able to be freely offered to all who believe in Jesus. He has done it. Now look back through the verses. Who can accept salvation? The verses meaning just the last 10 that we're focusing on. Who can accept salvation? Well, those who fear the Lord, that's mentioned twice, 23 and 25. Those who seek the Lord in verse 26. Those who remember and turn to the Lord in verse 27. Those who are satisfied and worship him in verse 29. Those who bow down before him in verse 27 and 29. And when all of them do that, when all accept salvation and turn to the Lord and be saved, then those who believe will become witnesses and proclaim his righteousness, in verse 31. So on this Easter morning, where do you stand with Jesus? Do you accept that he has done it for you? Have you accepted his free gift of eternal life? Do you rejoice in his death, burial, and resurrection? Or are you on the fence, understanding what Jesus did, but not wanting to commit? Maybe there's some sort of fear, or just not wanting to take that step. Is that an eternal gamble you want to make with God? Because that is a lost cause. Because God makes it clear, and I hope I made it clear this morning, that the path to heaven is through Jesus Christ alone, and nothing else, and no one else. Or have you rejected God and want nothing to do with this? I hope that's not the case, and the fact that you're here shows that you have an interest. And if that's the case that you've rejected Christ, then why are you here this morning? But I'm glad you're here. I pray that anyone who has not placed their faith in Jesus will do that so this morning. What a morning this will be to know that you celebrated the risen Savior by accepting him into your heart today. As we sang this morning, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. He has done it. Thank you for the cross, Lord. We're going to close this morning by singing that song, Thank You for the Cross.